The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome to the program. You know, I totally enjoy talking with our various first responder heroes, including sheriff deputies, city police, Sandpoint and Ponderay, the sheriff's marine division, dispatchers, chaplains, EMS, fire and rescue, all of our first responders. And today, we get to catch up with our Idaho State Police Protection and Enforcement Programs. What's going on with our ISP, Idaho State Patrol? Is it patrol or police?
We're both. State Police, yeah. Okay. A lot of people call us patrol as well.
But. I know. There you go. Well, I'm learning.
That's okay.
Okay, here to help us is Sergeant Justin Scotch. He keeps us in the know, and we are looking at the ISP participation with ICE, traffic issues and statistics, trends and training, and a lot more. So stay right where you are. We will be right back after this first break.
Accidents happen, and when they do, more people reach out to Northwest Auto Body. Consistently voted the best auto body shop in the region, we offer guaranteed repairs by certified technicians using only state-of-the-art equipment. Our locally owned collision facilities have been serving North Idaho for nearly 50 years. Find us online or just stop on by. No appointments needed, no charge estimates, and advice is just good customer service. Remember, Northwest Auto Body in Sandpoint, Ponderay, and now in Bonner's Ferry.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
Auto repair bills are through the roof. $3,000 to replace the transmission. $4,000 for a blown engine. And if your manufacturer's warranty is expired, you'll have to cover it all out of pocket. You need an Endurance Auto Protection Plan. No matter what the mileage, if your car is under 20 years old, Endurance can get you covered on the engine, electrical system, transmission, AC, drivetrain, and more. Endurance has plans for any budget. Repairs can be done at the certified mechanic of your choice, and they're paid directly with no middleman. Plans cover 24/7 roadside assistance, towing, battery jumps, fuel deliveries, tire changes, lockout services, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Act now and get our elite benefits, including complete tire care and key fob replacement, a $2,000 value at no extra cost. With Endurance, you could never pay for covered auto repairs again, so call now for your free quote. Call 800-291-0376. 800-291-0376. 800-291-0376.
Lanny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI, with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu. My Computer Career, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
It worked for me, and I know it can work for you.
This is one student's experience. Individual results vary.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/music. That's ethos.com/music.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 8 year old? Listen closely for an exciting offer, then head to abcmouse.com/radio to learn more. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
We're offering a promo at abcmouse.com/radio to try it for free for a month, then $14.99 per month until canceled. Go to abcmouse.com/radio to see this offer. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Actual ABC Mouse users compensated for their testimonials, sponsored by Age of Learning.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. Join me as I say hello and welcome again to one of my favorite guests, Sergeant Justin Scotch. Thank you so much again for being with us.
Absolutely. It's another great day.
It is a great day. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Idaho. You can't probably imagine how many people talk to me about training. What does it take to be an ISP officer? How do you get into the academy? It's just interesting. That's something that people don't understand. So I'm going to begin there today.
Sure.
Start our audience off with everything that has to happen before you even get close to the academy.
Absolutely. So our process is approximately 4 to 6 months from initial application to hiring and then starting the academy. So it kind of depends on when the time frame is for the academy, how many people they're looking to hire, and then all of the items you have to complete to be hired. So it begins with an online search, right? So if we're hiring, you'll see it's all online, you can apply online, and then you have to take an online test. So certain states do like a civil service exam where you have to pay and sit down in a, you know, a gym or an auditorium and take this test. We do it all online. If you successfully complete the test, you may be asked to then further your testing. So that would include a physical fitness test, an in-person interview with like a panel board. So it could be a few or a couple troopers on that board. You then have to do a psychological test, a background investigation a polygraph test. And I might be missing a couple things, but it's a long process, and it takes, again, upwards of 4 to 6 months before you're hired on and you successfully pass all of those parts.
On the physical fitness, is that like a health exam, or is that actually, you know, running 4 miles and climbing a wall and doing 20 push-ups or 200?
So it's actually both. So you will have to go through like a physical examination with a doctor that's contracted through the state police. But also you have to complete a test. Now, it's not just for ISP, it's for POST, which is Peace Officer Standards and Training.
Oh.
So you actually have to pass their minimum standard, which is consists of push-ups, sit-ups, a 1.5 mile run, a 300 meter sprint, and there's also a high jump. So those are the various things you have to complete, meet the minimum standards for that, and that's for POST. That's not for ISP specifically.
So the other law enforcement agencies use POST also for this, like
correct.
Sheriff and police?
Yeah, so it's my understanding to become a police officer in Idaho through any of the agencies, you have to pass those standards and go through a POST academy or POST-approved academy to become a fully-fledged police officer.
What about 1 year later or 2 years later? Do you have to re-up on your physical fitness and still, or how does that work?
So you have to meet the initial minimum standard through POST, and then once you're on with your department, every department can institute their own physical fitness requirement. For us, we use the Texas Department of Public Safety. So like Texas State Troopers, they have a standard, and we use that standard to test our troopers twice a year, and that's a rowing test. So that's what we do twice a year.
Twice a year, that's impressive. Yeah. The other thing that you told me before we went on the air, today is the first day of the next academy session,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, I believe they started today down in Meridian, Idaho. So they'll begin that, and I want to say it's 22 or 24 weeks. It kind of varies over the years, so I don't know the exact, but I know it's somewhere in the lower 20s of weeks.
More or less, how many men and women are in this academy session?
So I don't know the exact number. It again varies. When I went through, we started with 18 and ended with 15. There's been academies with upwards of 30 recruits. Our last academy was lower numbers, I think maybe 8 or 10. So it just depends on how many we're able to hire successfully before the start.
And there is a dropout percentage, I'm sure, that a certain number probably get dropped for whatever. Or they, as we said in the Peace Corps, they self-select. They just decide this isn't for me.
That's a good way to put it. Yes, yeah. So we do have people, that just decide it's not for them. We have a very stressful academy.
Yeah.
It's very regimented, very boot camp-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough, especially the first, I'd say the first 2 to 4 weeks are very, very hard.
And that's purposeful.
Yeah. I mean, I was in the Army, and I found our training academy for ISP was harder than Army boot camp.
You know, the other question I get is, what are the job opportunities and how do people find out about them that are the non-officer openings through the academy, like like administration or dispatch or other kinds of job opportunities.
So you could just go right on through like the state of Idaho and look up job opportunities, but we have so many fantastic opportunities in our department. So obviously we have the trooper position, which can then further on and grow to detective positions or commercial vehicle safety or, you know, promotional opportunities to sergeant, lieutenant, and above. But also in our agency, we have dispatchers. We have phenomenal dispatchers in our North Center, which is stationed here in Coeur d'Alene, and they cover the five northern counties and then District 2, which is like the Lewiston area and those counties down there. And then we have a dispatch center stationed down in Meridian, which covers the other districts for State of Idaho, Idaho State Police. But we have lab personnel. Mm-hmm. They do laboratory testing.
You do your own forensics?
Forensic.
For your detectives?
Yes. And we also handle all of it for the other agencies as well. So other agencies will send us evidence or whatever they need to have tested, and it will go to our various laboratories within the state.
And again, they can go online and find out about these opportunities?
Correct, yeah. And you can actually, I believe you can sign up for like reminders or especially for like trooper testing, but dispatchers, lab personnel, front office, technical record specialists. We have so many different phenomenal opportunities in our agency.
You were saying before that that there is a need for more troopers in the ISP. That
absolutely.
You're really hoping that this academy class all graduate and become active troopers.
Yes.
Is there any way, I mean, can you accelerate to get another academy going to bring people in?
So it's not my place to say definitively how many academies we're going to have in the future. However, I can say just through my experience of being here over 12 and a half years, we typically have two academies a year, usually a January academy and then usually a July academy. There have been years where we've only had one and it's all depending on budgetary constraints and funding and all of those things. And also our personnel and our staffing levels.
Right.
So I know we just had one that started in January and just graduated last month. And then we have the one starting today. So nothing's been announced for a January academy, but I would like to hope there will be one.
Especially with the need for more officers, and you always probably need all the support staff.
Absolutely.
Another quick question about training and personnel is, what about out-of-state certified officers that are moving into Idaho? They're not finished with their career yet. Do they go through the academy, the whole process, or do they have another path?
So that's a great question. So back in the day, we'll say it that way, you used to, even if you were a lateral officer, so a lateral officer means that you have 3 years of experience as a police officer in another state, you would still have to go through our full academy. Well, recently, within a few years, I believe, they've changed that. So now you, if you have your 3 years in another state and you're certified, you would come in and you would do an accelerated academy. So you would still go through the very stressful and strenuous beginning portion of our trooper academy. But about, I believe it's 9 weeks, you would complete up to 9 weeks of the academy, and then you would be shipped off to your designated district, so where you're assigned, and you would start your field training observation program.
I'm assuming these out-of-state certified officers would still have to go through post physical fitness, the background checks, you know, making sure psychological, that...
Yeah, so they would go through the same hiring process that a normal non-certified trooper recruit would go through. The only difference is they just wouldn't go through the entire academy.
Exactly.
They would get done and they would start their field training evaluation program just a lot sooner. And then towards the end of that academy, they would come back, join their class, graduate with them, finish up their training, and then they would be on their own.
Can you be a part-time trooper?
So we don't have any kind of part-time. There are certain states that have done that. I know Florida Highway Patrol is one of those where they have like an auxiliary unit where you can volunteer. But no, we don't do anything like that.
Okay. The other thing I just want to say, because it surprised me so much, Justin, when I got the opportunity to ride along with you, was that you guys roll alone. I, for some reason, thought you would always have a partner in the car with you.
Yeah. So that is why it's my belief and my understanding, and I totally agree with this. That's why our training is so strenuous, because there's a lot of the time that we are alone. Yes. You know, we had talked earlier before going in the air that I just worked a recent temporary duty in Lewiston to help with coverage, and a lot of troopers are having to do that. And Lewiston is a very desolate area. Once you get out of the city, I was called out at 12:30 in the morning to assist another newer trooper with a crash. And it was out in Deary, Idaho. So I had to run code all the way out to Deary, which I think, that's an hour-long drive not running code. So it took me some time.
What's not running code?
So just driving normally, non-lights. Okay. Not code would be lights and sirens.
Okay.
Sorry, my police speak over
that's
here.
That's okay.
So I had to drive out there in a system, and I'd never really been out in that area before. It's very beautiful, but desolate. Not a lot of people, and heavily wooded. And so it's just, that's a kind of area I could end up alone one day on a case or a traffic stop, and my backup might be 30 minutes to an hour away. So we do work in very different areas. We either work in the metro area where we have plenty of backup, or middle of nowhere and we're it.
Right. And when you're up in our area, it's kind of a mixture. You're not that desolate or that remote. And
right.
You know, Pondere and Bonner's Ferry, and I'm Sandpoint and Coeur d'Alene are kind of on call.
We typically have backup within 10 to 15 minutes, sometimes sooner.
Right.
But, I ended up making an arrest on July 4th, like we had discussed earlier, and I had backup coming, but I think it took him probably 10, 15 minutes to get there, just from what I remember. So
one of the things... kind of the last question before the next break is, when you are out there alone, and of course, I cannot help but think, I know how safe you all are in a way, because you're so well trained and you're armed, unlike our firemen.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm thinking of the loss recently of the two fire captains, I think they were.
Battalion chiefs.
Yeah,
was that? Just a horrific event.
Ambushed. What is it that you're looking for as you approach a car, as you approach a situation? You're on your own. You may be in desolate areas. What is it in your training that you're looking for so you don't fall victim to something like that?
So I am very big on doing a passenger side approach of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Statistics have shown, and there have been previous shootings throughout history of policing where most people in the world are right-handed, and it's very easy for a person to have a gun in their right hand and just reach over their shoulder and shoot out the car without even really aiming, and action beats reaction every time. So we have seen officers shot and injured or shot and killed in that method. So to me, it's very important to do a passenger side approach whenever possible, because when I do that, I can use all the mirrors that are visible on the side or inside of the car. I can have a better view, and that person, if they want to shoot at me, they would have to reach all the way across to the right passenger side windows in order to aim and hit me. So it gives me a little bit more reaction time to that, so I can do what I need
that.
To do, right, and I can maybe see that coming.
Does it change your approach if there is also a passenger with that driver, so they would have to, shoot past their passenger?
I'm certainly more weary if I see a passenger. Not that that's not abnormal, but it gives me a little bit more pause and taking more time to approach the vehicle.
Right.
But also, same thing, most people are right-handed, so even that passenger would have to extend their arm in a way where I might notice it.
That would be really awkward to get the right.
I know,
right,
it's hard.
Hand.
It's one thing to explain and then
yeah.
different for, our listeners to try to understand what we're talking about, but
yeah
they would have to move in a way that I feel would be very unnatural, and I would hope that I would notice that and be able to react to it.
I was with you during the day, so darkness was not an issue. I mean, do you typically take a high powered flashlight or something so you can see in the car at night or across, or
yeah,
how
so
does that
actually
work?
I would, it's my opinion that while it's easier for us to see during the day, obviously, it's easier for us to mask our approach to the car at night, because we can flood the area with our lights,
headlights,
our emergency lights, our headlights, our takedown lights, which is our bright white lights to the front, our spotlight. And then I typically, during the day, I have one flashlight on my belt,
mm-hmm.
but at night I typically carry two, one on my belt and one in my hand,
mm-hmm.
a bigger one. So we have plenty of white light to mask our approach
and
also to
them.
Look into the vehicle.
And
yeah,
to look into the vehicle.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to blind someone,
yeah.
but if I can mask, my approach as much as possible. That certainly helps, mm-hmm. you know. So,
well, I always say to you when I say goodbye to you after a show is stay safe out there.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, we're up against our first break, our second break, actually. We're going to take that right now.
Albertson Barlow Insurance Services in Sandpoint is your trusted, independent, locally owned and operated full-service insurance company. Scott and Ty understand that insurance these days can get confusing. They're here to assist you through the process and explain your options clearly, providing you and your family the right coverage for every need. Life, health, property, auto, and more. Contact Albertson Barlow Insurance in the Old Powerhouse Building, online at Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Cowboy Christmas is on at North 40 Outfitters through July 13th. Get a $25 gift card for every $100 spent on Western footwear and save 20% on hats, belts, wallets, purses, jewelry, and all apparel from Ariat, Smith & Rogue, and Sendero. Meet the reps from Ariat, Wrangler, Kimes, Hire, and Justin, visiting stores with giveaways and in-person deals. North40.com for the full schedule of events. North 40 Outfitters, outfitting, work, and play.
Bi-Mart brings you the 57th annual Cheney Rodeo. Be there July 11th through the 13th at the Bi-Mart Arena in Cheney. One weekend only. Three great rodeo performances and fun for the entire family. Like a Cheney Rodeo Parade, dances after the rodeo, cowboy church, rascal rodeo, and more. Stop by your Cheney Bi-Mart today to get your tickets. You don't want to miss this. The 57th annual Cheney Rodeo. Brought to you by Bi-Mart.
For almost 100 years, Adams Tractor has been your trusted partner, helping farmers, homeowners, and businesses thrive with the best equipment, service, parts, and support. Whether you're plowing fields or tackling a weekend project, we bring the power of the number one selling Kubota tractors right to your doorstep. Adams Tractor, a name you can trust, built on 95 years of experience, dedication, and a passion for our community. Get your Kubota at one of our five locations today or visit us online at adamstractor.com.
At Boot Barn, we believe the cowboy boot is the foundation for a life well lived. We work, we raise, we break bread, and tomorrow it starts again. This life requires a boot that supports perseverance. Ariat boots undergo 150 steps to ensure performance. Boot Barn carries over 250,000 Ariat boots nationwide because out west, tenacity is second to none. Ariat at Boot Barn.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time and skip the regular line at the airport and pay for speedy security. Imagine not having to quickly unpack and pack at the place you already came back to. And wearing your shoes the whole time you're there? You can't put a price on that kind of luxury. Well, actually you can, and you paid for it. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for speedy security. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. We are here with Idaho State Police Sergeant Justin Scotch. He is talking about all things law enforcement from the troopers that are out helping us and protecting us. Because when you call 911, these are some of the people that will respond to you. You could call a friend and they might say, hey, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not coming. You're in a ditch. Call 911. Anyway, okay, so the 4th of July was crazy this weekend, you say. What was going on, do you think?
So that was a busy day. So I worked day shift on that Friday. And I think, if I recall correctly, by 3:30 p.m., I believe we had 4 or 5 DUI investigations already. We had one at 10 in the morning. I ended up arresting someone around 3:15, 3:30-ish. It was just a busy day, and that continued throughout the evening. I'm happy to report that I'm not aware of any fatality crashes on our, you know, main highways. We ISP did not investigate any fatalities in District 1, so that's the 5 northern counties that I'm aware of. And I pulled just some basic statistics because we're still waiting to see the entire task force numbers.
Right.
But just for state police, District 1, so 5 northern counties, between June 30th and July 6th, we had 18 DUI investigations and or arrests, and 27 crashes. So I don't know how many of those crashes are impairment related.
What are those dates? June 30th to July 5th?
July
6th. So that's like 1 week.
Yeah, when we do, you know, that's like our weekly report.
27 crashes.
27 crashes, and that could be anywhere from a deer crash to a whatever. But no fatalities in that time frame that I could recall out of our agency. And then 18 DUI investigations within that week time.
And that was just ISP.
That's just the state police. So imagine all of the other agencies
in the
state, but the five northern counties. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot.
I don't know why I think people have learned the lesson about DUIs that, you know, don't drink and drive because for lots of reasons.
Yep.
But they do.
Well, it's one thing I'm very passionate about. You know, we've talked about that over the years that I've been interviewed by you.
You were in charge of DUI task force.
Yeah, for a time there, I was the commander of the task force and our domestic highway enforcement team as well. So that was our drug interdiction team. But for me, DUI investigations are a big passion of mine because I've investigated so many horrific fatalities. I've now seen multiple dead children, and it's really something I never want to see again.
Yeah.
But
yeah, if it can be avoided, and it can be avoided.
It can.
If you just let somebody be the designated driver, they just don't get to drink, which to me would not be a burden at all.
Hey, you talk about phoning a friend. Just phone a friend.
I mean, phone a friend, right?
We're in a time now where Uber and Lyft and all of these ways to get home are so much cheaper and safer.
Yes.
Than taking that chance in your car.
That is so true.
Not even just the danger of DUIs. That's the most important thing, but it is costly. It's very costly to get a DUI.
Give us some ideas if you are arrested for a DUI.
Oh, I mean, it's hundreds. Because think about it. You're going to have the fines imposed by the court if you're found guilty, of course.
Okay.
But then you're going to have to likely pay for the tow, which could be hundreds of dollars. And you may lose your license for upwards of a year, depending on the investigation. You know, if you refuse to provide a sample as required by law, that's a year suspension of your license. So that's a cost that will accrue over the year that you're not being able to drive to work or what you need to do. So
exactly. Yeah, it's very costly in so many ways.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, slow down out there and don't drink and drive and don't drink and boat. I was out on a boat this last week a couple of times and it was like, oh my gosh.
It's great that we have our local sheriff's agencies around, well, the entire state, but especially up here in District 1 where I work. It's great that they have, you know, deputies that are out on boats.
The Marine
patrolling.
Division.
It's very important.
It's very important.
Great partners to have.
Yeah. Which makes me think of a question. How often are you called in, like if a percentage, if you could give us a thought on it, to assist other law enforcement agencies, whether it's sheriff, Marine Division, accident that city police is handling and they want you to come in on it for some reason? Yeah, how often does that happen percentage-wise?
I don't know if I could give you a percentage because there are some agencies in our area that have their own crash investigation units, like reconstruction units where they can do their own measurements and with electronics. Instead of hand measuring, they have lasers that can do a very accurate measurement of a crash scene. So I don't know if I can give you a percentage, but we certainly assist and we'll also call them for assistance. You know, we talked about backup. There's a lot of the time we'll call for backup and our closest assisting unit is another agency.
Okay.
So I don't know if I could have a number,
but it
occurs.
It certainly happens.
Absolutely. There's just
they
some agencies
you,
that
you call them.
Yeah. I mean, we're known as the agency that handles traffic enforcement and also crash reconstruction. So if there's an agency that doesn't have a crash reconstruction team or that they're not highly versed in the crash investigation realm, they know to call us because that's kind of our specialty.
Speaking of crashes, what would you say are, you know, the top causes for it? I mean, is it alcohol and drugs or is it speeding? Or what are the contributors to these, like these 27 crashes in 1 week?
Here's what I see just from my experience, right? Because I can always say, well, DUI, impaired driving, and that's not just alcohol, it's drug impaired driving as well, are huge factors, right? That goes without saying. But just from some of the things I've seen over, you know, my 12 and a half year career is a lot of people follow way too close. The biggest thing is they are distracted by some sort of electronic device or even factors outside the car. They're looking at whatever's going on next to them. I've seen where I've investigated a crash.
Look, it's a moose.
Yeah, or I'm out on a crash and people look at my crash and forget to look forward and hit the car in front of them, which causes a chain reaction on the other side of the highway. falling too close, recklessness, changing lanes quickly and not checking blind spots, all sorts of things. You know, we get a number of calls on people that are just driving recklessly, aggressively, all of those factors.
Too fast,
right?
And impatient. This is like
that
tragic accident, or there have been several on Highway 95 mm-hmm. North. And it's been people wanting to pass when it was not safe to pass to a very, and then speeding, of course, to get around whatever they thought they had to get around.
It's sad that road rage is such a hot topic lately. We get a lot of calls. It almost feels like daily, especially during day shift, of road rage incidents. And then people, you know, one of the people or multiple people involved in the situation are pulling weapons on the other person, and locating them and arresting them. So people get very upset when they're behind the wheel, and those two things just don't mix.
Do you think it's trending more than, say, when you started out as a trooper?
Again, I wouldn't have a statistic, but I can tell you it seems like we get more of those calls. But I think a part of that has to be the influx of people that are living and moving here. I mean, when I moved here 13 years ago or whatever, it was a smaller, quieter area.
Yeah.
It's not that way anymore.
Maybe it's not so much that they're bad. It's just more and more people, is more and more traffic, more and more pressure to, think you got to get. I love the bumper sticker that says, "Slow down, you're in Idaho now."
I haven't seen that one yet. Yeah. That's pretty good.
What about an age group? Is there an age group that is the higher offenders, whether it's DUI or crashes?
No, nope. It's pretty much everybody.
Everybody gets in on the dance.
And you would think the younger generation would be the ones that would be violating, like, the cell phone use behind the wheel. It's everybody.
Yeah.
There's not, I see everybody. I see people driving semi-trucks and big trucks and you name it.
That's illegal
behind the wheel
in Idaho.
But using their phone and texting while driving. That's one thing.
Do you pull over if you see them doing that?
If you're using your phone behind the wheel, and I get it. People, I've heard it. I've seen it on YouTube in the comments and, but the cops do it. It's like, I don't do it. The last thing I want to do is rear end a car.
Right.
Especially in my police car.
I'm never using my phone. Yeah, I don't use my phone that much
and
anyway.
That's one of the things that scares me the most is I ride a motorcycle. And I worry more about stopping at a red light and getting rear ended mm-hmm. while I'm on my bike. That scares me because someone's not paying attention. So I'm very careful. I'm always checking my mirror to see if I need to gun it and get out of there.
Why do people come up so close behind you? I was always taught that my front, whatever that's called, dashboard, needs to be at the bottom of the tires of the car in front of me. Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So that distance from me to that car, I could actually probably make a tight U or, get away without backing up if I had to.
Yeah,
but the other people come up on me like they want to get in my back seat. I'm like, what are you doing?
That extra foot really makes
always,
a difference,
I
you know?
I'm always adjusting my mirror. I see him like, who are you back there?
I certainly try to leave a reactionary gap
totally.
Between my vehicle and the vehicle in front. So if I have to respond to a call or get out of there, I have room to do so.
Exactly.
That's important for everybody.
It
not
is
just
important.
Police.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see. So we don't know the age group. Everybody is an offender, so to speak. I'm going to go to a topic and we may get interrupted with our next break, but the technology that you have, Justin, and all of you have, and I'm sure the other officers, other law enforcement have, the technology is really, really impressive.
Yeah.
But what impresses me is that in addition to the radar, which I want you to explain to our audience how it's like you see all over the place with this radar, it's a lot better than what I thought it was. It made me oh my gosh, you can see me coming and going. You are tested on your ability. You are trained to be your own radar speedometer.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. So
tell us about that.
A lot of people actually don't realize this, but so we have our radar in our vehicles and just so everybody knows, they're all calibrated. So everybody always asks that. Trooper, was your radar calibrated? Yes. So our radars are calibrated by our technicians every 3 years. But we actually have rear radar. So people will come up speeding up behind us. And like, well, how did you know? Like, I can actually check radar front exactly. and rear. So we yeah. have front and rear antennas, and it's actually pretty impressive because
this is a spoiler alert right oh. here. You they know you're coming, speeding. You don't have to like get to them and pass.
I do get a kick out of that.
Down when they get to you, yeah. thinking they haven't been discovered.
Yeah, especially because I mean our cars are pretty easily noticeable in my opinion.
Yes.
But people will still fly up behind me and then get up next to me and go, oh, it's a police officer. Uh-oh. It's like, I already have you.
Exactly.
It is what it is. So, yeah, so we can do forward-facing, approaching, and going away from us. So yeah. if someone's in front of me speeding away from me, I can get that speed. I can also get their approach speed coming towards me. Same thing for the rear end. So I can yeah. get them coming up behind me and going away from me.
It's like a 180 that you've got that radar going.
Yeah, so you have the front direction and then the rear.
And
so
the
you
rear
have a pretty
approach.
Good. Yeah. And then we also have LIDAR, so we have the lasers as well. I don't use that as much. Our motor officer uses his, I believe, quite a bit, but
okay.
It just depends. I don't like to sit still, so.
All right, we're up against that last break. Can you believe it? When we come back, I want Justin Scotch to talk to you about how the officers are trained to be their own radar equipment in their rig. It's really interesting. All right, stay right where you are.
Lenake Realty has a new land listing in Bonner County up Rapid Lightning at Rising Hawk Ridge. Escape to nature with this beautiful 5-acre parcel offering gently rolling terrain and a mix of mature trees, perfect for building your dream home or a weekend cabin in total privacy. Underground power available at property's edge. Public Idaho state land nearby. Listed at $199,000. For all your real estate needs, see the professionals at Lenake Realty. Lenake Realty.
When it's time to hit the road, let Squeaky's Truck and Auto in Kootenai get your pickup ready for everything you have planned. Squeaky's offers custom truck accessories like WeatherTech mats, bed covers, receiver hitches, gooseneck hitches, and fifth wheel hitches. So, no matter what you plan on hauling this season, Squeaky's is the place to go. For more information, stop into Squeaky's Truck and Auto on Highway 200 in Kootenai.
Attention anglers, can you identify bull trout? Bull trout can have pink or orange spots on the body and white on the leading edge of their fins. They have no black spots on their dorsal fin. Remember, no black, put it back. You must release all bull trout. For practice identifying trout on the internet, type in Bull Trout Education and click on the online Bull Trout ID test. Please help Bull Trout Recovery in the Clark Fork Ponderay Basin. This has been brought to you by Avista, Idaho Council of Trout Unlimited, Idaho Fish and Game, and Montana Fish, Wildlife and Parks.
Ritz Transmission and Performance in Bonner's Ferry, now offering new services. Transmission repair to manual and automatic. U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer cases, and transmission services. Call for an appointment or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonner's Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Ritz Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonner's Ferry.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Come by boat or car for unforgettable waterfront dining. Pearls on the Lake in Hope. Open Wednesday through Monday, noon to 8. Close Tuesdays. Enjoy a fresh new menu, tasty cocktails, and live music on beautiful Lake Ponderay. PearlsOnTheLake.com to reserve your table today.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, everybody, thanks for jumping in with us today. We are talking with Sergeant Justin Scotch. He's with the ISP, Idaho State Police, and all things law enforcement from this wonderful group of, warriors. I have lots of names, defenders, first responders. So we were talking about radar and the radar you have in your vehicle, but you are like a trained radar machine. It's so fascinating to me that they teach you and they test you.
Yes.
To be able to, on your own, estimate. How does that work?
Well, so we have our initial training in the academy, and we're actually required, and this is just every time I stop a car, I have to estimate the speed of the car, and my estimation has to be within 5 miles per hour of the actual speed shown on the radar.
Say that again. Apart from all the technology, you have to write down an estimate.
Yeah, so I have to provide, I write that in the notes if I end up issuing a citation for the stop.
Okay.
Our estimation has to be within that actual speed reading, because it helps kind of ensure that the instrument, the speed reading instrument, is correct.
Right.
And, you know, it seems like it might be a hard thing to do, but after years of doing it and seeing the same speeds on roads, right? So if I'm going in a 60 mile an hour, I'll use my DUI arrest on July 4th. I stopped the individual for speeding. I had seen all the other cars traveling on that highway throughout the day, generally within the vicinity of the speed limit. And then you see another car approaching you at a higher speed. You just get used to doing an estimation. And I was right on the money on that one. So yeah. it just depends, but you do it enough, you get good at, just like anything.
I know.
Practice enough.
It's so interesting to me that it's a part of the training and it's a part of the testing. They don't just like, well, do the best you can.
Yeah.
They actually test it.
Correct.
So by the way, the guy who was speeding turned out to also be a DUI.
Yeah. Yeah, I suspected he was under the influence and ended up arresting him for it.
All right. Well, I find that so interesting. All right. Well, let's get to the partnership with Idaho State Police and ICE, Immigration, and what is Customs Enforcement. What is that program going to look like?
So I don't have a ton of working knowledge on this because this is well above my pay grade,
new,
if you will.
Too.
Right. So it's my understanding that the governor has worked with Colonel Gardner, who's basically like our chief. His rank is called Colonel. But they have worked together to get some funding for the agency. And it sounds like my understanding is our job will be to help transport illegal detainees from various jails in various counties to ICE-authorized county jails, which I believe one is Jefferson County.
Okay.
That's my understanding. It would be like two troopers transporting these illegal immigrants or detainees to specific ICE-authorized jails.
And
I don't know if that's begun yet, but that's kind of what it's looking like. So that's going to be our involvement in assisting ICE.
And the governor has given an executive order, and I believe the funding is it's either done or it's in the pipeline to provide the cost. But I think it's interesting and important for people to hear. This is not just illegal immigrants or illegal aliens that are here. These are criminals that are illegal aliens and are currently incarcerated. And instead of letting them out, if they've served their time, they will then be transported directly from the incarceration to ICE. And then it's under their authority and jurisdiction to do something with them.
Yeah,
probably deport.
Yeah, typically, like we have had some cases up here where we've made traffic stops, and through the course of our investigation, we've determined this person is illegally here in the United States. Maybe they don't have a driver's license. All of these things kind of compound, and then we'll contact Border Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And once they show up, it kind of shifts to their investigation. If we have criminal charges, they'll still be state criminal charges, state mm-hmm. of Idaho, but then the federal Border Patrol, they'll take care of their portion of it.
So you may not know this since the program is not, but, you know, these are criminals that have beyond the criminality of being here illegally. They have committed other crimes. And so do they serve out their sentence, do you know, and then they go to ICE? Or why aren't they just, once we know who they are and what they ought to just go directly to ICE? Now, that's just, you know, an opinion here on this show.
That's my understanding. Well, it depends on, you know, their criminal case. So I'll use an example of one of ours. So if or just a hypothetical. So if I stop someone and they happen to be illegal, but they were also driving a vehicle and let's say they're impaired, right? Okay. Seems to be the topic of the day. So I arrest them for DUI, but they're also here illegally. Let's say they're convicted, hypothetically, of that DUI.
Okay.
They would then have to handle the state sentence. And then once that's complete, they would
go to ICE or Border Patrol.
Or Border Patrol.
Okay.
And then handle that portion. That's my understanding of it.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that the next time we have you on, that this is going to be on the list and see if it's implemented and how many there are and how it works. Because this is a new program.
It's very fresh. We have not. It's my understanding that none of the troopers here in District 1, again, the five northern counties, I don't think any of us have been involved with
it. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Okay. I have another question about how, you know, people out there, we may see someone weaving in and out of traffic, being aggressive. How do we report a traffic situation like that to the ISP?
That's a fantastic question. So we handle traffic complaints all day, every day. And they're very important. So I would say that if you see something that appears to be dangerous or you think someone's impaired or they're driving recklessly, please call us. And the easiest way to get a hold of the Idaho State Police. So if you're on like a federal highway or a state highway, that's, you know, we have obviously state jurisdiction, but we primarily work those state and federal highways. Please call STAR ISP, which is STAR 477, and that will connect you directly to our dispatch center so they can take your call and get a trooper dispatched. If you're on maybe a county highway or a rural area, certainly call 911 and provide that traffic complaint. And then hopefully a deputy, or if it's within the city, a city officer can respond and investigate.
So if you're on a state highway like 95,
right,
you would call STAR 477.
Correct.
If you're on a county road or a city road, you would call 911.
Yeah, and
you know.
And they work both ways. If you happen to call 911 for that situation, they will just transfer that call, your call, to our dispatch and vice versa.
Yeah.
If you call STAR 477, you happen to be out on a county road, they're probably just going to connect you to the central dispatch, which is like the county or city agency for that county or area.
You know, my mind, I can get into the weeds fast, Justin. So here you are, you're seeing somebody reckless. I mean, we need to pull over so you're not on your cell phone calling STAR 477 and rear-ending somebody while you're trying to take care of somebody else.
So, you know, luckily the state code does provide for emergency use of the phone. So I would articulate that if you're calling someone in as a dangerous driver or an impaired driver, you can certainly call on your phone.
Yeah.
Most people are hands-free anyway. I would say, please be careful, follow the law as it's written in that code. But, you know, most people have Bluetooth or hands-free, and that's the biggest thing. You can still make a phone call in your car. It's just required to be hands-free. But
you make it through your car's radio. It's
but the code does allow for emergency use. So
that's
an understanding situation. You know, we want to get that dangerous impaired driver or reckless driver off the road. So we understand.
That is really, really good to know. We are getting right down. So I want you to repeat a little bit about training. I think that's just something that people are interested in. The academy, a new academy started today. But if someone out there is listening and say, you know what, I'm called into this. You've got like 20 seconds.
Well,
what do they do?
If you're interested, please check out our website. It's isp.idaho.gov. You can sign up to get alerts of when we are hiring. I don't know for a fact, but I would hope if we can, we'll have another academy class maybe next year, at least one. That's the hope. So just keep checking that website. If you are interested in law enforcement, we provide ride-alongs to people that are thoroughly interested and want to apply. So please reach out. And you can always come talk to us at our office or come talk to me.
Yeah.
It's 615 West Wilbur in Coeur d'Alene. So.
Yeah, and don't hesitate because there's a lot to do before you get to that academy in January, if that actually happens. Well, it's time to say goodbye and thank you again.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being out there taking care of us and being in here helping inform us and teach us. And for all of you listening, that's it for today. Next week, we are catching up with our friends and our listeners in Boundary County. We're talking with J.C. Atkins. She's the fair director up there. She's got so much information on the fair and concerts, all kinds of good stuff. I'm really jazzed about that. So until next Tuesday, this is Barbara reminding us all to slow down, to love each other. May God richly bless you, my friends, and God bless America.